You're listening to Witch Wednesdays, a semi-weekly podcast source for all things witchcraft in the modern world. Join your host, Steph, on Wednesday mornings to chat about seasons, Sabbats, and all new witchcraft topics to help you make your life more magical.
Welcome back to Witch Wednesdays. I'm Steph, and I have a guest here with me today to chat about one of my personal favorite topics. So I'm going to turn it over to her so she can introduce herself and let you know where you can find her online.
Thank you, Stephanie. So my name is Mary Colvin. I am a clinical herbalist and a registered herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild, and I own Ancestral Herbology. I am the host of Herbology Talk podcast, as well as the Herbology Talk monthly meetups. And I'm a formulator. I'm also a mentor to other herbalists, and it doesn't matter what skill level they're at. I do mentor clinical herbalists as well that are wanting to go for their registered herbalist application. And I'm in Wakeman, Ohio. So I am found on Facebook, Mary Colvin Clinical Herbalist. I am on TikTok at Simple Herbalist, or Simple Training Herbalist, sorry about that. And I'm on Instagram at Ancestral Herbology.
Well, I am very excited to chat today and get into your history and the different things that you offer. But the very first thing I would like to ask you, I think most of the listeners know the answer to this, but in case this is a new topic for anybody, what is herbalism and what does it mean to be an herbalist?
So herbalism is just using herbs as medicine, and it's the practice of using herbs as medicine. An herbalist is anybody who chooses to do so. So there's no certification or, you know, legal certification, licensing, so to speak, to be an herbalist. So anybody can call themselves an herbalist and anybody can work with the herbs. It's really open field to anybody who wants to learn.
And that's absolutely one of my favorite parts of my practice. I love working with herbs, even though I cannot grow anything to save my life.
And, you know, that's something everybody thinks, that you have to have a green thumb in order to be an herbalist, and you really don't.
Nope.
You can purchase your herbs. You can, you know, get them in bulk if you'd like. So get them from other people. You don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah, I'm absolute proof of that. Look, I like working with the end product, but like getting there, I can't. It's been a fail.
Oh, no.
Well, I would love to ask you then, what was your history with herbalism? How did you even get started in this practice and finding out that this was something that you enjoyed and enjoyed enough to want to then teach other people?
Yeah, sure. I grew up loving gardening, flowers, plants. I'm the one that back in the 70s you would find all alone in the woods. I just loved everything to do with plants. And I went to school at the Ohio State University Agricultural Technical Institute for floral design and marketing. That wasn't my first choice. I really wanted to be a horticulturist or a botanist, but we just didn't have the cash flow to send me to college for a four-year degree. So we went to the two-year degree at Ohio State University, ATI. And of course, I worked in the flower shops after that. I wanted to start my own flower shop, but again, didn't have the finances for that. And along comes husband, children, you know, raising them. I think it was 36. No, I was a little younger than that, maybe 34 years old when I started having severe back issues and sciatica issues. And I followed everything that the doctors wanted me to do. And the insurance, of course, you have to do physical therapy. And then of course they gave me the Vicodin at that time. And I was on the Vicodin for quite a while just because I just needed to cover that pain. And I eventually had to have surgery. So I ended up with the sciatica, of course, but it was caused by herniated disc. And they also told me that I had a degenerative disc. So I had surgery back in early 2008, I believe it was. And it's called a laminectomy, where they shave your disc. And it did help with alleviating the sciatica nerve. But after that surgery, I was still in pain. And when I went back to the doctor, they told me that I was going to be in pain the rest of my life, and that the specific pain that I was dealing with was due to the surgery, where they cut into my fascia. And that fascia was going to be causing pain for me for the rest of my life. And I did not want to go back on, you know, Vicodin. I didn't want to do what they wanted me to do or other surgeries. So I freaked out. And it was at that point that I started looking up herbal courses and where can I go? Because here I am in Ohio, in Northern Ohio, and I'm in the rural area. So I really didn't know anybody that was teaching herbalism. So I went online. And of course, at that time, there were not very many schools offering courses. So a lot of the courses at that time in the schools, you had to do in person. So I did find one, it's called the School of Natural Healing. And it was by Dr. Christopher who started that. And you could purchase one class at a time, which was really beneficial for myself and my family, because we had a young family that we were raising, and finances, it was a little difficult, you know, to pay for everything all at once. So I did take one class at a time and just did it that way. And once I finished with that, that was a 2-course. I had to go to Springville, Utah for 1 week for more training and to get certified. And that was really exciting, finishing that, but I just didn't feel like I was done at that point. I felt there was so much more to learn. So I began looking, and I found herbal conferences. I went to the New England Women's Conference, which was in New Hampshire, I believe. And that's where I met my mentor, who is Margie Flint. And she's of Earth Song Herbals, and she's the author of The Practicing Herbalist. So I'm not sure if you know who she is, but she's the one that introduced me to clinical herbalism. And it was at that time when I found, I believe Matthew Wood was there, Kay Parent was there, along with Margie Flint, when I decided to take a class with them. And you sat in on a consultation. And you learn from them by sitting at their feet. And it was at that moment that I just decided, and I knew clinical herbalism was it for me. I really wanted to help others, but the plants have always been there for me all my life. And I really think of them as allies. So I just naturally went into that. Now, as for myself, I was able to heal myself. I am not in pain now. So the doctor telling me I was in pain, I would be in pain the rest of my life is not true. I developed some formulas to help myself. And over the years, I've gotten better on that aspect. So I believe in the power of herbs. And it's anybody who starts learning about herbs or who has experience using the herbs knows what I'm talking about. It's just, it's exciting, and you feel connection. You feel a connection to those herbs and those plants.
I love how your story really came full circle in that you were obsessed with plants even as a kid and eventually found
absolutely
back to it. That's so beautiful. And yeah, I love herbs for the same reason. I think not everybody realizes that things like Tylenol are based in plants in the first place. That's what they're mm-hmm. on top of. And then of course, you know, there's things added to it in the lab, but it came from a plant originally. And so many of our medications come from that. So it, in my mind, it completely makes sense to trust the herbs and the plants, because that's
the basis of our medication. I trust modern medicine, of course, too. All of those things.
That oh, go absolutely. Hand in hand.
But
yeah, I'm definitely not against medicine. Yeah, I'm definitely not against doctors and medicine, because there are points in your life where it is absolutely needed, and mostly in emergency situations, or, you know, there's some long-term situations as well. But I'm a believer that a lot of the things that you would go to over the counter, or, you know, things that the doctors say they don't know what to do unless they're covering the symptoms, you know, there's ways to use herbs along with diet and along with other kind of dietary supplements, nutritional, you know, that you can use to help heal yourself. And it's, yeah, I use herbs first. And if the herbs don't help me, then I move on to the doctors. And I also go to doctors for diagnosis, you know, because I'm not a doctor, so I can't diagnose what is exactly wrong with somebody or myself. So yeah, that's what I do.
And I think that's a great practice, especially for, you're speaking as like a seasoned practicer in this area, but even for like, you know, beginners, that's a great practice to do, is to go to a doctor first, figure it out, get help on the situation, not always try to fix everything all by yourself. It doesn't just apply to medicine.
And that's so true. And, you know, I really want to emphasize to anybody who wants to get into herbs or start using herbs, the best practice is to check for any contraindications or interactions for yourself, either with your conditions or with any kind of medications that you're taking. And a lot of people don't think of that. You know, they think that herbs are natural, so they can't hurt you. There are a lot of herbs out there that are extremely poisonous. And, you know, water hemlock is one that comes to my mind right away here in North America. It's natural, but it will kill you. So it is good to know what medications you're taking and if they can interact with some of the herbs and the medication you're taking.
You
know, so safety, you know, safety is it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The most important thing. For somebody who wanted to get started and is sort of listening to this and thinking that they really like working with herbs, want to take it a little bit further, but are maybe a little bit scared, where would you recommend that a beginner like that would start?
Well, I would definitely begin with my upcoming book. And I started this, I actually began writing and had the idea to write this book 9 years ago, because it was needed then. And I think it's so needed now. It's called The Herbalist Guide, How to Build and Use Your Own Apothecary. It's basically homeschooling. It's, you know, where you're having a course at home and you can do it on your own time. But I include all the basics of herbalism. I also include exercises that you're going to get the experience working with the herbs too. I also emphasize research. So you have to take it upon yourself to do some extra research on those different topics that I talk about, as well as the herbs themselves. Because I can't write everything in a book with less than 80,000 words, it's just not possible. But I do include research guidelines in there, because let's be honest, on social media, there's a lot of misinformation going around. And I think you also hear one herbalist mention how they use an herb and another say, no, not that herb, I use this. And it can get very confusing for somebody who's studying. So learning how to find trusted resources in herbalism is extremely, extremely important. And that's why I included some of these research guidelines that I came up with to help reader learn how to do that. The exercise in the book, if you do all the exercises, you eventually build your own apothecary. You are making medicine. But the great thing is you will know how to use it by the end of the book. So I think that's a great start for anybody.
I think that will be incredibly helpful as a resource, because it is, when you, it comes to herbalism, it's a very fine line between like a helpful hands-on resource and turning into a textbook.
And absolutely,
textbook version can be very overwhelming for people. I completely understand that. A lot of the herbalist books that are out there are in fact textbooks.
Yeah, and not only that, they can be of different subjects in herbalism, or they could just be, here's some home remedies, here's this remedy for this situation. But in my book, I teach that it's not this herb for that symptom or disease, it's this herb for that individual. And you learn about how to choose the right herb for that individual. So energetics are mentioned, and you learn about energetics in the book also. So the basic concept of the book is to help step people. And I wanted to be there to help guide people into learning each of the subjects and the basic subjects in herbalism. And then they can work with them too, because experience, and as you know, experience, you're going to learn so much more than you're going to learn from reading a book. And especially with taste and feeling within your own body, where is this medicine going? You know, what areas of the body is it working with? And I also include journaling in there, because I think journaling and keeping track of all this information, as well as your experiences, is going to be beneficial to you as an herbalist.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I am still learning new things, even though I have like sort of the same herbs that I tend to work with and am comfortable with and do the same things over and over. I'm still like taking notes on it because I learn something new every time.
I'm still learning. And, you know, I remember hearing Matthew Wood when I was learning from him that I, you know, been doing this for 10 years and I thought I knew everything, and then I didn't. And then I studied for 20 years and I thought I knew everything, but yet I didn't. And he's been doing it 40 years, and anybody who's still doing it 40 years later are still learning. They're learning from their students. They're learning new technology. They're learning new studies that have been done in science, or new ways to use that old herbal ally of yours. So there's a lot of things to learn. And I'm just hoping that my book can help guide you into the basics. And then it also offers other resources that you can go to continue your studies. I also have a second website that I have been working on, and it's called herbalistmentor.com. And it's all about navigating the study of herbalism. And it's about training and mentoring for those that want it and need it. And I will be including, for those people that need more virtual learning, you know, they learn more virtually, I will be including the exercises and demonstrations of those exercises that they can purchase after they've got the book.
Which I think will absolutely be very helpful, because I know a lot of people are visual learners and they need to see
absolutely
and experience it, like somebody else doing it in front of them, for in order for them to pick it up themselves. I completely understand that. So that will be a very nice.
And I said virtual, but it's virtual, it's online, but yes, it's visual. You know, they can learn visually, and it, I think that's very beneficial. And there's going to be other courses in there. There's also going to be some free videos that you can listen to and watch, as well as things to purchase, other videos to purchase, such as plant walks.
Yeah, that's so that can be nice of you very beneficial. Offer the free resources, because it allows people to get a sample and see if it's, you know, something that in like sparks their interest and it will fit like their learning style. So I think that's going to be very helpful for people. It's nice of you to offer that.
Oh, that's great. And you know, I do offer on TikTok, I do my training in herbalism series also. That's free. I don't give them the information, but I am guiding them. Here, you want to learn about this first. And here, you want to go ahead and learn about this next. And it's very beneficial for somebody who doesn't have that guidance from a teacher in a school and who's studying at home. And I think those are the people that need my book the most as well.
Which a lot of people are these days, just doing things on their own, doing things at home. And yeah, there is something that's nice about, you know, the self-pacing and self-guiding, but at the end of the day, it can be really hard to keep yourself on track and to stay motivated and to know where to go next without like a little bit of a guiding hand there.
Absolutely. And I do mentor herbalists too, so they can go to my herbalistmentor.com website. And I do offer mentoring packages. And it doesn't matter what level you're at. If you're just getting into herbalism and you need somebody to ask questions, to ask for advice, you need a little direction and guidance, I can do that also.
And it's also very nice to hear you say that even after all of these years of practice that you are yourself still learning, because I know that's a big roadblock for beginners getting started with herbalism, is that it can feel very overwhelming very quickly.
Oh, so very quickly.
Good, yes, to
which
know.
Is why
you're always learning.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And anybody you ask that's been doing herbalism for a while, they'll tell you the same thing. And there's so much information and there's so many new plants to learn about. There's always something that you can learn. And yeah, I just thought with this book, having me there, you could feel like you have me there right beside you. And I offer advice through it. And I'm also having you do the exercises, and it's really going to give you that training and that hands-on training that somebody's looking for.
I think that's going to be perfect, because that's something that I struggled with myself when I started with herbs, because I just was like using them here and there, but not really like diving into all of the information. And then once I started, like, it got overwhelming very quickly. And I was like, I don't think I want to do this. I don't think this is cut out for me. Maybe this is too much like studying and too much like going to like biology school, and I don't want to do that. But, and you know, I would have really enjoyed having something like this, like some sort of guide to help me, because I dropped it for a while and then came back to it and realized I was putting too much pressure on myself.
And that's it too. What's great is you can take your own time. You know, when you go to school, when you actually purchase a class or schooling for herbalism, you're following their coursework and their timeline. There are some that have you do it on your own time, which is great. But for a lot of those people that are studying at home, they would like to go to school, but maybe they don't have the finances. Maybe they don't have the time. It doesn't work with their own work schedule as well. So that's why this book is so important for somebody who's studying at home to have that guidance and have those hands-on training.
Well, I would love to ask you, I'm sure that you work with so many different herbs throughout your days, weeks. Do you have any sort of regular practices or regular herbs that you work with maybe on like a daily, weekly basis?
Oh my gosh. I do.
So many.
You know, there's so many. When people ask you, what's your favorite herb? Do you know how hard that is to answer?
It's like picking your favorite child. You can't do it.
You can't. But I got to say that I do have a special affinity with a few plants that have come into my life. And one, when I was first learning, I had a dream about motherwort. And when I was dreaming, it was across the street, and I was dreaming about harvesting it. And I really have never worked with that herb at that time before. And so in the dream, I went and I harvested it. So when I woke up, I realized I should go over there and harvest it and get to know that plant a little bit more. And I did harvest it. And not 30 minutes later, after I did that, somebody came down and mowed down everything. And I was very, you know, very happy that I got the herb. But what I've realized is I needed that herb too. So I needed that specific herb in my life. So I do have a special connection with motherwort. I have another one that showed up in my life, and I call it sweet leaf. It's Monarda fistulosa, which is bee balm or wild bergamot, some people call it. And it's the native one here. I'm in the northern Ohio, and it's native growing around me. Well, I couldn't find it before. I looked for it for years, and all of a sudden showed up, and it just popped up and showed up. And we had to move from that house, and I didn't take it with me. And I was praying that the new land that we built on would have it. And we have about 6 acres of woods in the back. It showed up aplenty. And there's so much to harvest. And to, I could stand in the field of these plants. And I've found also that when a plant shows up and when a plant is so, you have so many of that plant around you, usually you are in need of that plant, or somebody that's around you is in need of that plant. Sweet leaf was one for me also. So I have a special connection there. And I also, violets, I love violets, and they're called heartsease also. And I really do feel that they're so good energetically for our well-being and for our heart. I actually use a flower essence of the blue violet to help release anger. I also have the white violet for more purity, to use more for cleansing, as well as using the violet medicinally. There's so many different applications I use it for. So I think that's another one. Yarrow. Yarrow is a good one, and it's so multi-purpose. That's, I got plenty of that on the property also. And believe it or not, it's one of the beginning herbs that people learn about, but plantain, I think, is a powerhouse. And I use it in a lot of different situations and in a lot of different ways. And I do have some formulas on the market that Spriggs Life Herbs has made, and plantain is in there a lot. And then the one other herb that I use often is mullein. And not just for respiratory, which a lot of people think and realize that mullein is good for the respiratory system, but I use it for the lymph system. I use it for inflammation and pain resulting from inflammation. So that is also in a lot of my different formulas. So those are really my favorites that I use often, but there's other, there's so many others.
I know, it's always a whole list. I have like a collection upstairs. Like,
yeah.
My little jars and everything. And then every time, like, I go to a store, I like, see something new and I'm like, I want to add that as well. And I'm like, you have 40 things at home to work with.
You need that. If but, you like, could just see, if you could just see how many tinctures I have, and it's one of those lazy Susans, and it's packed top and bottom, you know, top and bottom of the tinctures and my cupboard, you know, with all my herbs. Yeah, there's a lot. And in my book, I do include 35 herbs we talk about. So the reader will have experience working with 35 different herbs. And they're a lot of the common herbs that growing in my area and, you know, most.
So they would be ones that maybe people are more like already familiar with?
Pretty much. And also easily obtained. For those people who don't have the green thumb.
Okay, that I truly appreciate. I have tried there. I mean, there's obviously some that are much more forgiving and hardier, just like plants.
Yes.
That I have had more success with, but there's just other ones that I just don't have the greenest thumb. So I appreciate when you can work with just the final product, and you address that in your book, that it's okay to not have to
absolutely
throw these from the start, and it doesn't make it any less, you know, potent or less magical or less connected to your energy if you don't grow them yourself. Like, it's okay to just buy it.
It is. And I talk about, there is no one herbalist who's the same either. And there's so many different ways that you can practice. I also have a list of where to obtain the best sources to obtain herbs. Of course, growing your own is going to be, you know, up there, as well as harvesting and in the wild. But for those people that are urban and don't have that ability, there's other ways to get, you know, quality herbs. And I do mention that as well.
Yeah, because I bet that is something that comes up often, is trying to.
Yes, it does.
When you're sourcing of how to find something, especially if you're doing it online, how to find something that is what it says it is. and was grown well and is going to have the nutrients that you're trying to get out of it.
Right. And sustainability is also something that I talk about in the book, because I think that's really important. Anybody who would like to be an herbalist needs to understand sustainability and how that affects prices of herbs, how it affects herb is available or not. You know, there's so many aspects to think about when you do begin the journey into herbalism and how you want to source your herbs. So there's a place, I don't know if you've heard of United Plant Savers. That's one place that I would recommend. It's online, and they are all about saving medicinal herbs for future generations. And they talk about sustainability often, as well as endangered herbs. So they have an at-risk herbs list, which everybody should know. If they are purchasing these, you want to ask the person that's selling them how they sourced it. Did they get it in the wild, or is it a farm, you know, herb? Did they, especially ginseng, we know that's way over harvested. And people want to buy the ginseng, but it's just way over harvested in the wild. So they have farmers that are growing them in a natural type landscape that you can purchase from rather than getting them from the wild. So that's just something that you can think about: sustainability and at-risk and endangered herbs and how you can protect herbs in the future.
And I think this is coming across in how you've been speaking, you know, on the podcast already, but something to know that you don't need to be afraid to ask these questions of the sellers, because people love to talk about their plants. So
if
they are involved in this, just like you are coming across, people love to, if they're in this sphere, they love to talk about it. So ask all the questions that you want, because they, if they're a reputable seller, they're going to be very excited to answer them.
Oh, you know, absolutely. And I know Mountain Rose Herbs is a big, you know, they're about sustainability, and they want to know. They won't purchase from somebody who's collected the herb in the wild, say ginseng, American ginseng, when they know it's an endangered plant. They're going to purchase from farmers. So that's something, if that's deep in your heart, something that you care about, you can easily ask them, you know, where do you source these? And they'll tell you. Another thing to think about when you are purchasing herbs from other people, if they are getting the herbs from out of the country, then they have to sanitize them, so to speak, and they have to give them, it's a lot of heat. So sometimes when you're purchasing the mint family, especially like oregano and thyme and rosemary and basil, you notice in the shelves of the grocery store when you're getting your spices, it just doesn't have the coloring or the smell that it does when you harvest it yourself and dry it yourself. And that's because of that heat sanitizing effect that they do, trying to kill, you know, any bugs. But the thing is, with the mint family, they have volatile oils, and the heat will release some of those volatile oils, and therefore it's going to be releasing some of its medicine. So knowing that is important too. I like to purchase some of my mints, if I don't have enough or I don't specific one, from local farms. There's a lot of farmers that might grow it, other herbalists that might grow it that you can exchange things with. So just wanted you to keep that in mind too.
I think that idea of exchanging is nice as well. And, you know, part of a good reminder that you can start very, very slowly. And if your finances don't allow you to have a giant herbal collection, you don't need to. You can just pick one.
No.
And then start with one and work on it as your finances allow.
Even if you are in an urban area and you don't have a lot of wild herbs around you, just take a look at and pick out 5 different herbs that are growing near you. Study about them. And that would be, you know, how you can have a source there to wild harvest if you need to. But a lot of times in the urban system, you're going to find other people who are herbalists also. And you both can work together. Maybe one can grow something you can't. yeah, there's a lot of collaboration that can go on there.
Which is a beautiful part of the practice.
Oh, it is. And, you know, that's one thing I love about being an herbalist, and you can work with other people in the wellness community. I personally, where I'm at, we are rural, but I found other wellness colleagues and we work and collaborate together too, just to kind of uplift each other. And you can find other herbalists and do the same thing. It doesn't have to be a competition.
Which is the best part of the practice, not gatekeeping.
Oh, it is. I love being an herbalist and being a part of the herbal community.
Well, Mary, I want to thank you so much for being here today, for sharing all of your stories and expertise and history, and chatting about your upcoming book. I am very excited for that. And for listeners, that is May 7th, correct?
Yes, they're going to be releasing that May 7th, and it is available for pre-ordering right now.
And listeners, I'm going to have everything linked as always in the show notes. You can check those out at whichwednesdays.com. So if you want to find those online classes or you want to find the TikTok and all of those resources, I will be sharing those so you can check out anything that you need to and pre-order the book if this is a subject that is speaking to you right now.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for having me on. And I hope that everybody can get some experience and joy in herbalism.
I hope so too, because like I said at the beginning, this is one of my favorite topics. It wasn't when I started my journey. Like I said, I got overwhelmed, but now it is one of my favorite things to do. So I absolutely encourage you listeners to join me and realize just how much fun this can actually be and how helpful, beneficial it can be for your life.
Absolutely. And if you need help, you can go to herbalistmentor.com too and find some extra help for that.
Exactly. And that is everything that I have for you this week. I will see you all in the next one.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Need even more witchcraft in your life? Subscribe to Witch Wednesdays on Patreon and YouTube for all types of exclusive bonus content like spells, recipes, book reviews, and more, or even order personalized tarot readings and spells. Be sure to follow on Instagram at Witch Wednesdays Podcast. And you can find all these links and more at witchwednesdays.com. Come on.